Pretty excited to have Daniel back. If you don't know, Daniel was our young adults pastor for many years, and he's one of my best friends. He challenges me, and I love him for it. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, Ryan. Good morning. It's good to be here with you all. This is a pretty interesting moment in Scripture. Here we see the Creator God affirming the Lordship of Jesus Christ, just as we did at the baptism, only here we see that the disciples are present as well. It's an interesting moment because here we see the pinnacle of the Hebrew story. We see Moses, who was the leader of Israel as he led the people out of Egypt under the hand of God. We see the one who represents the law. This was the one that the Hebrew people looked up to so much in their story. And we also see represented with Moses, Elijah the prophet. So we see here the law and the prophets beside Jesus. These two epitomize the work and the actions of God in the Hebrew people. And immediately Peter is like, hey, I got a brilliant idea. Let's build a dwelling place. Let's build a tent or a temple or a tabernacle. Let's house this. Let's encapsulate this moment. Let's crystallize this moment. This is it. Surely this has to be it. I mean, we've got Moses. We've got Elijah. We've got Jesus. Like, we've made it. This is it. And I love Peter. I reckon I would have done the exact same thing. Like, the awe of this moment would have been so overwhelming. We have Moses, we have Elijah, we have Jesus. Now let's stay here. Let's stay in this moment. But see, that's not what God had in mind. Instead, it's almost like God's voice interrupts this idea, interrupts the idea of Peter that says, hey, let's build a tabernacle and let's get everyone to stay here. God's voice interrupts this idea and says, hey, this is my son. This is my son. And it's overshadowing the ideas of Peter. Peter wanted to crystallize this moment in time, but God's voice affirms the sonship of Christ. And then immediately Peter's terrified. He hears this booming voice from heaven, which all of us would be. That's pretty natural. And he falls on his feet. He falls on his face. And Jesus touches him, says, get up and don't be afraid. And then they go on their way. It's an interesting story. It's an interesting moment in the Gospels. All the Gospels record it, all the synoptics other than John. And there's many things we can pull out of this passage, many things we could sit with today, but something that I've really has been standing out to me as I've been thinking about this passage is the journey of faith. The journey of faith, or the evolution of faith. We may not like that word because, you know, we might associate that with the beginnings of time, but I wonder if we could just hold that for a moment and consider for a moment how our faith changes. How we may want to crystallize a moment. We may want to take a snapshot of a moment, but that moment, we can't really stay there. We continue to move on. Faith invites us forwards. Faith invites us on. We see Peter here. He's at the pinnacle. He's at the mountaintop experience. The ultimate moment, the high point of the Hebrew story, and naturally, like us, he would want to stay there. And I would want to stay there too, but instead Jesus says, get up, don't be afraid, and let's keep moving. There's been moments in my life where I thought, and I described them to be high points, moments where everything seemed as if it was in its rightful place, moments where everything seemed well, and sometimes I too wish I could crystallize that moment and live in it forever, but that's not life, hey. And we're humans, so we get to talk about life and we get to talk about faith. It's not what the journey of faith looks like either. Life and faith keep moving. Walter Brueggemann, a well-known Old Testament scholar, he identifies three different times or ways or spaces that the Israelites tell their story or worship God and speak to the reality of their experience through the Psalms. He identifies three different ways or three different spaces through which they orient themselves in the Psalms. He speaks of Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation, and Psalms of reorientation. And I found this to be a really incredibly helpful way to look at the journey of faith. As I look at the wider voice of Scripture, I notice that the people of God are moving through these spaces. And I don't think it's any different for us today as the people of God. And today I do still believe that we would find ourselves in one of these three different spaces. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take a dive into these. It's not going to be an incredibly deep dive, but we're going to take a dive into them. And really, my hope is that we could name and identify these different spaces of faith that we will find ourselves in as we navigate through life. So the first one here is orientation. That's some slides coming up there. This is a time where we feel secure. This is a time where we really feel anchored. It's a space where everything seems to make sense in our lives. Our faith seems reliable. Our faith seems like our relationship with God is going well. We feel confident in prayer and our faith is satisfying. For many of us, this is a comfortable time when we feel like we understand what's happening in life. And there's an inner sense of peace, calm, and also purpose. It's an incredible time. We embrace a newfound simplicity that we've found as we look at Scripture. We receive fresh insights, and it seems like we've discovered the answers. This space may last for a while, but oftentimes this space gives way to another. And if we fight against that movement to another space, sometimes we can actually become incredibly unhealthy in this place. It's almost as if we were meant to experience these things. We're meant to experience these times because they will give us courage and they will give us strength and they will show us how God will be with us as we navigate into the next space. The temptation is to stay here, to stay in that moment like Peter wanted to do. But faith, and I would say that Christ, invites us forward. The next space that we find ourselves in, or the Hebrew people find themselves in, and Walter Brueggemann speaks to from the Psalms, is a space of disorientation. This is where we feel painfully disoriented. It feels as if the psalmist writes that we have sunk into the pit, where we begin asking questions, where is God? We're in that deep hole into which we've sunk. Life as we know it has changed some way. We've experienced loss, change in circumstances, our health may be deteriorating, our finances may have fallen off a cliff. Life feels unsettling, it feels scary, and it's unpredictable. Disorientation brings emotional pain and it brings suffering. But disorientation isn't always associated with a change of context or a contextual change or circumstantial discomfort. It's also an inner personal awareness and recognition that something is changing, something is amiss, something's afoot. A profound shift is taking place. This happened to me several years ago. I was up on the hill when our offices were up there, and I was reading through Romans, and I was going through Romans chapter 10, where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul is echoing the words of the prophet Isaiah, and I'm reading this, and I just feel like the Spirit of God is challenging me with something. I felt like the Spirit of God asked me this question. It was a simple question, but it was a profound question. Do you think the gospel is good news? And I'm like, of course I do. Like, what a dumb question. And the question was asked again, do you think the gospel is good news? And I'm like, earth to God, like, dude, I'm a pastor. Like, of course I do. And the question was asked again, if you think the gospel is good news, why when it's, I put it on your heart to share it, is your first question, what will people think? And I was like, oh, that caught me off guard. And I just had this really honest moment with God where I prayed. And I said, God, there's a part of me that doesn't think this is good news. Help me believe this is the best news anyone will ever hear. Help me. Because a part of me right now is, there's unease. So help me. And I think that prayer was a disorienting moment in my life. It was a disorienting moment in my faith. And it led me to the fetal position many times. It led me to uncomfortable spaces. It led me to feeling despair. It led me to feeling like I had sunk into the pit. In times of disorientation, one doesn't know what is ending and one doesn't know what is beginning. One doesn't know exactly, can't say this has ended and this has begun. There's this in-between space as well. Faith is not what it used to be, but it's also not what you hope it to be either in those times. It's just faith. It just is. Disorientation is a stage in your relationship with God, characterized by vulnerability, frustration, doubt, fear, feeling lost, wanting answers, miracles and signs, and maybe not seeing them as you'd hoped them to happen. Another moment that was disorienting in my life was when my dad lost his battle with cancer. This hugely challenged me. I remember being so challenged by this that I found it difficult to pray. I found it difficult to pray that others might know the healing of God because I just had these questions. I was asking questions and looking at, does God intervene? I asked some really hard questions, questions that I'd ignored up until that point. But the experience I faced in life collided with where my faith was, and it caused me to ask some questions. These are uncomfortable times. We don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be disrupted. We don't like change, and we certainly don't like pain and suffering. And if we're honest, most of us want to go back to when things were simpler, back to when the grass seemed greener. As I was ministering with young adults, man, so many times, and so much of the narrative in our Christian songs and Christian life is take me back. Take me back to when my faith was strong. Take me back to when I was walking and I had no fears, I had no anxieties. Take me back to when I was on fire, whatever that means. Hopefully it doesn't mean you're literally on fire. Take me back. But see, I don't think we're meant to go back. That was good then. That sustained us then. But we're not there. We've encountered different experiences. We need something else here and now. I don't think that we're meant to go back to that. I think we're meant to be in this space and be formed in this space and see God with us in this space. To avoid disorientation, we look for ways to numb, to escape, to keep the suffering at bay. Unfortunately, if we do this for an extended period of time, we not only keep the distance, at the suffering at bay, but we also keep at bay what Christ might be hoping to form within us as we navigate this uncomfortable reality. We're changed in this process. Spiritual formation is how we are made more to be like Christ in our world. And this space does give way to something new. Walter Brueggemann speaks of the third space that the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, spoke to in the Psalms. And it's the space of reorientation. It's a place where you've come to a fresh orientation, a changed set of attitudes. This looks like disorientation, or it like disorientation catches us off guard. We're surprised by this. Isaiah 43, he speaks about how God is going to do something new. And he says, do you perceive it? Do you notice it? Are you aware of it? Can you see it? He says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. There's going to be streams that are going to flow in the wasteland. See, even in the prophet's voice, you can hear this. You can hear how God is going to do something in the place where you felt like it would never happen. And that is the surprise that happens as we leave the space of disorientation and we enter into a new, a reoriented way. We see things afresh. This movement happens by a new gift of God, a new coherence, made precisely way, a way made forward right when we feel like everything is lost. Everything is in despair. We find, to use a pandemic kind of language, a new normal with God. We find a new way of being with God and God with ourselves. We discover and find a new way of being with Emmanuel, God with us. The anger, the doubt, and the frustration, they're not gone. Oftentimes, I remember when my dad passed away, you know, about a year or so later, people were like, oh, you know, how are you going? Are you over that? I'm like, over it? Are you kidding me? This is the death of my father. I'm never going to be over this. And we'll never get over grief. It comes with us. And those questions and those doubts and those fears and those anxieties, we don't just go, oh, I've got the answer. No, they come with us, but they shape us. They've affected us. We've seen things a bit differently now. And I hope to never get over the death of my father. I hope that that continues to form me. I hope that that continues to shape me to hopefully be more like Jesus in the world around us, to hopefully love and care for my family as he loved and cared for his family. We don't get over these things. They come with us. But they help us and they help birth. And I believe God births a new reality that helps us praise God even after we've spent time in disorientation. It's a new orientation to God. Make no mistake, the entire journey is marked by God's grace. And let me say this incredibly clearly, his mercy and his presence. His presence is with us through every step of the journey. It's important to note that these aren't merely stages we progress through, like sort of we're achieving things or anything like that. It's not what these represent. They're very much cyclical. We move through these. We may go through reorientation and back to orientation and then experience disorientation. So we've identified these spaces and where we might find ourselves at one time in a journey of faith. I want to provide you just keep in mind a few things as you consider this. In each time or each space, our faith changes. Some might say it grow, but I think it does more than that. I think that it changes. I think it evolves. You see things differently. You can't unsee what you've now seen. Once you've experienced a space, you can't just, like I said, not experience it. Each space is valid. This is so important. And I love it that our scripture gives voice to these areas. Each space is valid, and many would say necessary. It's not okay to diminish the experiences that others are having in a different space that you're in. And the third thing is this, or the fourth thing, you're going to be okay. God is with you. We don't know how long we'll be in a disoriented space, but God will be with us through it all. So I wanted to focus really quickly on how can we be healthy in these? If Walter Brueggemann and the voices of Scripture are telling us that we're going to experience these in our lives, well, how do we, good, awesome. But is there maybe some wisdom we can gain in how to be in these spaces? In the times of orientation, celebrate. Learn to celebrate. Give victory. Give gratitude for God. All that God is doing and revealing in your life, celebrate it. Revel in it. This isn't being naive. This is being incredibly authentic. This is being real. Authentically praising God for the wisdom you're receiving as you look at the words and share that with others. Share these experiences with others. The joy in your times that you're spending with Jesus, share these with others. The psalmist teaches us to rejoice in the Lord, and this is a space to do that in. Remain in community. Stay in community. Community is the place where you can celebrate with others all that God is revealing in your life. It's also where you experience the rough edges of life that might just challenge you, that might just awaken some niggles, that might take you into an uncomfortable space of disorientation. But we need community. We need one another. We need to listen to others. We shouldn't look down on others or oversimplify their questions. We shouldn't patronize others' experience in these times. We should be humble and grateful that things are making sense to us in these moments. But we shouldn't push that ease. Oh, doesn't God just show you things? Like, oh, he shows me things all the time. We shouldn't just push that ease onto others because others may not be in that space. It doesn't mean we're silent about what we're experiencing, but we shouldn't just expect others to have the same moments that we're having with God. Listen to the experience of others and be open to the nudges and those niggling things because the Holy Spirit may be trying to show you something. Don't shut them down. In disorientation, this is a time where we learn to lament. This is a time where we learn to cry out to God. I mean, we have a whole entire book of the Bible saying Lamentations gives voice to this. This is a time where we get to share our emotions with God. Lament doesn't change our circumstances, but it does change our perspective in them. It doesn't change our reality, but it does get to invite us into how we can be with that reality. We have permission to scream at God, to yell at God. We can share our doubts, our fears. We can express our anger to God. Our invitation here is to allow God into those inner vulnerabilities. Experience has caused something to happen and we have questions about it and we can take those to God. Things are not okay and we can be upset. Being a Christian doesn't mean that everything is okay all the time. Faith is, the voices of Scripture just don't say that. Paul doesn't say that. No, we encounter mess. We can be upset. We have a profound opportunity in this moment to show to the world around us that we don't have all the answers. And here we learn to wait. Transformation takes place when we let it form us. Here we learn to let go. Reorientation isn't a place that we arrive at on our own. It's not a place that we can achieve or work in our own accomplishment to get there. It's not something we can force or control. It's pure gift. It's a gift that God gives us. Disorientation helps us to let go of our past and to hold on to God. In this process, we open ourselves and the world around us to a new understanding and presence of God. This is so important. Do not do this space alone. I've seen so many of my friends go through disorientation alone. And the unfortunate thing about going through disorientation alone is that you pull yourselves away from community. And we are designed, we are created to be in community. And within community, you find yourselves with people who are in this orientation space. And you find yourselves with people who are in this reorientation space, and we need them. You cannot just surround yourselves with other people who are in the disorientation space. You need one another. We need one another. Do not go this alone. Do this journey with others. Commit to doing this journey with others. This is so important. If they're approached intentionally and with community, rather than staying paralyzed in this space and running it alone, we can boldly and courageously approach where God is leading us together. But when we do it alone, we can become paralyzed in this space. That is very real. Community helps us stay humble in this time. It helps us stay grounded, and it helps us be connected. It is so, so vital. Avoid cynicism. Avoid, oh, you know nothing. Oh, my experiences show me differently. Avoid that. That's not healthy. That's not kind. Avoid thinking that others are naive. Avoid that as much as we can. They may not have experienced the pain that you have, but you are in a different faith space as well. They may not be asking the same questions, and that's okay. You may find it hard to celebrate with others in these times because your life does not look like anything to celebrate. But this space will come to an end. Trust that God will be with you. Look to the wisdom of others. Read widely. Don't be alone in this space. Many pilgrims have gone before you. I was even thinking about Pilgrim's Progress. It sort of shows a lot of these similar kind of tones. Many people have experienced dark nights of the soul. There's books about it. This happens to us. And then we have reorientation. And this is a wonderful gift of God, where you receive fresh insights. but it's a place where we're encouraged to transcend and include. This is where you can take those moments of disorientation into the new orientation and recognize how they've shifted you, and you're now able to look back on those and catch this. It's so mind-boggling. But I wonder if this is the ridiculous grace of God, that you can look back on those moments where you were once in the pit, and this is where you can see you have reoriented. When you can look back at those moments of despair, almost with an irony, and be grateful for them. Because in those moments, God formed you. In those moments, you knew God was with you. In those moments when everything felt like it was falling apart, you felt the touch of God being with you. And you can see how some things were shifted, and you can see how some things changed, and perhaps you became kinder. Hopefully, we're becoming more like the fruits of the Spirit. And I think one of the most wonderful things is, like I said, those moments come along with you. You transcend them. You've gone beyond them, but you include them. You don't shut them out. You take them with you. And I believe this is what helps us to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice. It is hard to rejoice with those who are rejoicing when you're in a space of disorientation. I am not going to lie. But this is why we need community. Because when you're in a place of reorientation, you can have faced the proverbial crap that has hit your life, and you can still rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And we need this. You can weep with those who are weeping because you've experienced those things. It's hard. I remember when I was in that space of orientation, and I'll go back there. But I remember it was hard for me to weep with others who were weeping because I just didn't feel that at that time. I almost would be like, come on, man, just get over it. What? Get over it? I didn't know that until my dad passed away. I never had that revelation of what am I actually saying when I say get over it. It wasn't until I heard that when I was in a space of disorientation that I began to see, maybe I can be more wise with my words. That was the gift of being in that space. Remain in community. Extend grace to others. This is also a challenge for us when you experience reorientation. Sometimes you want to just reorient everyone else. But no. Let them go on that journey because we all need to go on the journey. Remain in community because, once again, community is a space where probably the nudgings will awaken again, and we will come to a place where what happens is you reorient, and in that you find a new orientation. But the faith journey doesn't finish there. Something else awakens, and we come back into that disorientation, hoping that we can come to a new orientation. This is a cycle. This isn't like, oh, we've made it. No. That's not the story of faith. The story of faith is not that. The story of faith is you see time and time again God being with his people. We look at the Old Testament and, oh my goodness, we see God being with them there. We see God being with Abraham. When Abraham completely does not believe in the promises of God and tells Pharaoh, hey, Pharaoh, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Like, he's not believing in God there. He's not believing the promises, but God does not deny Abraham. God stays with him. This is the story of Hebrew faith, the God who is with his people. And this is the story of the Christian faith. Because I want to finish with these words, and they're probably some of my favorite words. Matthew finishes an entire gospel. And if you were going to listen to the last words that someone ever spoke, you'd probably really lean into those words. And Matthew finishes his entire gospel with Jesus' last words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And what does he say? He gives him the Great Commission, and he says, and lo, I will be with you. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I am with you as you experience orientation. I will celebrate with you in those moments. And I will be with you as you go down into the pit. I will weep with you in those moments. And I will be with you as you come out of that space and you reorient yourselves to Christ in a new and fresh way. I will be with you in those moments. We have a God who is with his people. And one of my other favorite passages is Romans 8:38. And I don't know if I've ever preached without saying this, so I'm going to read this because it is so good. And why don't we just close our eyes as we sit with this passage? Keeping in mind these different spaces, keeping in mind these different places that we go through in life in faith. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nothing in the present, nor in the future, nor in that place that you are heading into, nor powers, nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, I can tell you that I do believe the gospel is the best news that anyone will hear, because that is it. It is that there is nothing anywhere, no sin, no height, no depth, no principalities, no powers, nothing in this moment, nothing in the future moment that will ever be able to separate any of us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that is good news. We are not here doing this alone. God is with us in these spaces. He will not reject us, and that is good news. As we sit in the season of Lent, I want to encourage you to reflect on where you might be in these places, in these spaces. Are you in a space of disorientation? Awesome, name it. Name it and own it. Are you in a space of disorientation? Own that space. Cry out to God. Be found in community. Are you in a space of reorientation? How might you be formed in these spaces to become more like Jesus? I really want to encourage you to sit with those questions, because the voice of Scripture says these are three different places we can find ourselves in. And there's no better space. There's no better space. The space you're in is the space you should be in. Let us pray. May we be a community who respects and honors one another, where each of us are in on our journey with Jesus. May we be a community that continually reaches out to the other, listens to the other, and is found being with the other. And may we be a community who reflects our faith to the world around us, Lord, and seeks to become more like you. Give us your grace. Give us your mercy. And Father God, thank you for your presence here with us, God with us, Emmanuel. Amen.